You're listening to the Clutter Fairy Weekly, a weekly webcast and podcast brought to you by the Clutter Fairy in Houston, Texas. If you'd like to participate in one of our live webcasts, please visit cfhou.com/weekly. You'll find a calendar of upcoming webcasts, as well as instructions for joining the Zoom meeting via the app or by phone. We'd love to see you. That URL again is cfhou.com/weekly. Now here's the weekly episode. Enjoy.
Hi, Clutter Fairy fans. This is the Clutter Fairy Weekly for April 25th, 2023. I'm your co-host, Ed Gumnick, and I'm speaking with Gail Goddard, certified professional organizer and owner of the Clutter Fairy in Houston, Texas.
Hi, everybody. The Clutter Fairy Weekly is the webcast and podcast that digs deep into the clutter that piles up between you and the life you want to be living. We explore the habits and behaviors that lead to clutter, and we suggest strategies to slow the accumulation, reduce the collection, and comfortably manage the stuff we decide to keep.
If you're new to our Zoom meeting, we want to let you know that you can share your comments and questions via the chat, and I'll try to get to them before, make sure Gail addresses them before we move on to another topic. You can also use the raise hand feature to let us know if you'd like to make a comment or ask a question yourself via audio or video. We're also streaming the webcast live on Facebook, so you can share your questions and comments there, and I'll relay them to Gail. We're going to start by recapping last week's weekly tittle, which was called, Is It Really Worth It? The assignment was to reevaluate work you're planning to do against your ultimate goal and its timeline to see if it's the most effective thing you could be doing right now. We'd love to hear from our participants live in Zoom and Facebook, who examined the effectiveness of an organizing project this week. Please let us know in the comments. We hadn't received any reports on this tittle yet through any of the usual channels while we were wrapping up our preparations today. So while we wait for comments from our live audience, I thought I'd share a comment that I liked a whole lot that was replying to our segment about burnout in last week's show. YouTube viewer Gene said, taking a break gives time to reevaluate, and you sometimes discover a different way to handle the project, or you think of a new place to put something that you didn't think of before.
You're right. That is the value of rest, a commodity that many of us don't get enough of. Rest gives our minds time to process information that we've absorbed during our nonstop busy days. Rest, recreation, and relaxation can give your subconscious mind the time to work out problems that you haven't been able to solve by thinking hard about them. One word of caution, you need to notice when resting has become avoidance. It doesn't help get your project done to avoid it forever. So rest until you feel fresh again and then get back at it. That's the only way to see if your rested mind has found a new solution for you.
On last week's tittle, M reports, I discovered a pile of clutter that had become part of the landscape. Funny how it was such a surprise to notice it. Besides junk, it was a job that was not essential to my goal, not worth it. So I used the big container concept to handle it. Therefore, I used three of the lessons I've learned here.
Hey!
Nicely done.
Good job. Excellent. And then, you know, at some point when you get some more things, when you get farther along, you can circle back and do a little bit more work on it. But if you've got a short, faster solution right now that allows you to keep going, excellent. Good for you.
Paula reports, decided I'd rather take a short trip I'd been thinking about for a while. So I did that rather than the tittle. No progress on the house, but the trip was fun.
Right.
But there you go. There's that much needed rest. And right. maybe Paula came back a little energized and refreshed and ready to tackle projects.
And that's the thing. It's like, you know, you're just trying to keep yourself. Everybody wants the project to move along and everybody wants to get to the end and everybody wants to push themselves until it's done. But most decluttering projects can't be done in a hurry. And so if you have to take a week off and go have some fun somewhere, oh, we're so sorry for you. What a great idea to do it and give yourself a break in the middle and then come back and, you know, you're not starting from a burnout. You're starting from a fresh place again.
Ellen says, I may have done it backwards. Since my move is at least 8 months away, I took out my neglected sewing projects to finish or donate. I don't enjoy sewing, but if it is sitting out, it will hopefully annoy me into finishing it or give away or pack.
Whatever works, man. Just be open to the idea that because you led with, I don't enjoy sewing, then I would give yourself one of the options to be, I'm not going to do that sewing project. So if you have a collection of sewing, then maybe some of them you do because it's valuable and important for you to do them. And some of them you can go, yeah, it's not worth my time. I already am annoyed by sewing anyway. And so maybe I don't need to give time to this one. I can, you know, declutter your sewing projects basically.
Yeah.
And not spend time on stuff that isn't really going to give you a big bang for the buck or big benefit, and let it, you know, pass on and let it be somebody else's sewing project instead.
Ernestine, who's with us on Facebook, said, I reevaluated and did a pivot to another project.
Cool. Somebody had a greater priority for you. Great.
Yeah. Marsh says, I had weeks to rest and look around. I also noticed the piles of empty essentials. Now these old chronic piles are just gone.
Yay. Good job.
Samudra says, last night I found my long-term borrowing form. I'll email it to you. That's something we talked about in a previous episode.
Yeah, yeah.
A contract that she'd drawn up so that if she lends something out to someone, she can be sure to get it back.
Or so have parameters of, you know, right of first refusal.
right.
Yeah, that was what was interesting. Like the contract talks about giving something back, but also gives her some parameters around which she can declare it released to them.
Yeah. Marty says, I cleaned out my desk drawer, which was overflowing with a pile of unsorted items. I relocated about a cigar box size of items, and now everything is organized into a separate slot in the drawer organizer. Now I can find everything I need.
Good job. Wasn't that worth it? That was so worth it, I bet. That was, you know, it's a small container, but in the office, all the things in the office are small. So in the office drawer, it's all a bunch of little bitty stuff. So good for you.
That is great, though. And not having to dig for the thing you need every time, just having it.
Being able to grab it.
Clearly visible. Yeah. Bridget said, I was called the PA, personal assistant of hubby. 2 days paperwork decluttering. So much done. Yay.
Yay. And I'm sure that it was a big hurdle for him. You know, you got to do somebody else's paperwork, which takes some of the emotion out of it and makes it a little bit easier to face. So it was probably easier for you to do it than him. But how great that he let you do it, first of all. And maybe you guys did some of it together. But excellent. Excellent, excellent job. Getting rid of paper, always a good thing.
Jane says, I've been using the onion method to let books go. 4 more boxes of books went to the Friends of the Library yesterday. Decluttering books is surprisingly exhausting. So many memories need to be processed.
Right? Especially if you inherited some books or you've kept a lot of books since you were younger. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's really interesting to think about. You know, you pick up a book and if you're a heavy duty reader and you pick up a book you've read maybe a couple of times, you can't help but think back to where you were in your life, what you were thinking, what effect this book had on you.
Well, and I've had people describe to me that the books are their friends. Like they have read them so many times that they really feel like they're part of the family, or that the, you know, the characters are more real to them, or it's just the sentimental attachment to the books feels very strong because they've spent so much time with them.
Jane added, I've been giving myself permission to just work for an hour on books, knowing how tired I've been after working on them.
Yes, and not making it too hard and taxing for yourself. That's great. Recognize your limits. This is how much you can focus. And you're still getting 4 boxes of books out, even though you're only doing it 1 hour at a time. So clearly you're sticking with it better because you've made that parameter limit for yourself, and it's working. So good job. Very good job.
I think we should move on to our main topic because we prepared an awful lot of material for today. So
you pushed the moving button and all everything came piling out.
Yeah, it sure did. And this is a hot topic. The pressure of an upcoming move sharpens the urgency of eliminating stuff you no longer want or need. You can purge by making careful, calm decisions, or you can do it in a panic because you run out of time and energy to pack. The choice is yours. Today, Gail is going to explain how to optimize planning, packing, and moving your household. We'll also talk about how to leverage moving strategies even when you're staying put. Let's start by looking at our survey responses. We asked our audience about their future plans for moving, and here are the key results. 22% said they're planning to move within the next 5 years or more. 18% plan to move within the next year or two. 10% plan to move within the next 6 months. Those 10% better be working on it. Another 10% would like to move but don't have a specific plan. 5% said they'd like to move, but circumstances prevent them from doing so. And several respondents offered various versions of, I'll move if aging or declining health requires me to. Only 16% of our audience don't plan or expect to move ever again.
Which makes the key takeaway here that 75% of our audience has a strong plan or expectation of moving, if not in the short term, in the far term in their plan. So clearly it's important to our audience to prepare for a move, even if it's a ways off. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Next, we asked our viewers and listeners to talk about the thoughts, feelings, memories, and so on that moving evokes for them. There were a few responses that included the positives of excitement, anticipation, the upside of home ownership, and new beginnings. But the majority of the answers talked about the hard work of moving, the difficult choices of downsizing, exhaustion, anxiety, stress, overwhelm, and so on. One of the most inspiring responses came from Alexis, who used our survey questions to describe a project she's working on to help her 70-year-old brother move within the next 2 years. Alexis writes, "My brother and I came up with a readiness plan to assist him in improving his current life in his apartment while preparing for a move in the next 2 years. We began last summer and worked a plan set for three-day sessions, with one session each in June, July, and September. We called our project the Care Conference, which I thought was awesome, and prepared for each session with a meeting and notes for methods how we would meet our goals." She went on to share a lot of useful information about their process and their challenges, and we don't have time to share all of it here, but we encourage you to take a look at her survey response, and we're going to share a link in the show notes so that you can go and read all the things that she did. I think that her entry actually just came today, and it was very long and detailed, so it's a good one to read.
Yeah, it's a really interesting and I think useful one that a lot of people would enjoy reading. I also just wanted to take this moment to remind people that we are publishing the survey responses for anyone who allowed us to do so, anyone who said we can share the responses either under their name or anonymously. And you can find that on our website at clutterfreehouston.com. The survey responses are so interesting, and I wish we could include more. There's just, I mean, we could spend episodes just reading survey responses and responding.
I know, right? It's true.
There are a lot of people put a lot of thought into their answers. We also asked, if you had to move from your home in a short time frame, what would the greatest challenges be? Here are a few responses. Bonnie shared, getting rid of 30 years of stuff, files, books, records, artwork, etc. The list is endless. I don't know any place that would fit all this stuff. Sorting is very hard for me.
And Bonnie's added difficulty is she's doing the sorting with help on the other end over Zoom. So she's sorting by video, and that's a whole other level of challenging process and makes it very difficult.
Diana said, my husband is now 82 years old and he won't let me go through the rooms that have his stuff so they don't get decluttered.
This is a common problem. Sometimes the older we are, the less likely we are to face change well. At 82, he's probably not up for the workload of decluttering his own stuff. and likely he doesn't trust anyone else to do it for him. I'm saying that this may just be the state of the situation, and you may not be able to deal with his stuff until he has a health challenge that changes his ability to interact with his stuff. You might ask him if there's any part of his spaces that he finds difficult to deal with, and would he like to bring that stuff out of the room for you to help him work on, or for you to work on? Sometimes it's just the idea of working on the whole project that is too overwhelming. But if you can ask him if there's a slice of the pie that he would be willing to bring out of his room so that you're not doing the rest of the room, but if he could bring out something to you to work on outside of the room, he might be willing to do that, because then he'll be very carefully picking what he brings to you. I'm sorry that you, I read between the lines that you are wishing to go in and declutter his rooms. I got it. And I think that you may not be able to tackle them in the way that you wish. You may have to just do it in much smaller bites.
Many respondents replied to this question with a few popular themes: the pain of letting go of beloved sentimental items, the physical work involved, and of course, just plain having too much stuff. Viewer Kathy also mentioned the tedious work of resetting banking, cable services, and changing addresses for credit cards, licenses, etc. I feel Kathy's pain, having moved twice in the last 3 years.
Right? Moving is hell.
I want to share a comment from Deborah before we move on. Okay. Move on, get it? Deborah says, I prefer panicking and wringing my hands when contemplating a move.
It's such an effective strategy to panic and wring your hands.
Deborah and I are kindred spirits.
You guys are so funny. Yeah, that's why you hire an organizer. So you can stay over in the corner and panic and wring your hands, and someone else can come and do some work for you.
Actually get something done.
Right. Oh, man. In 2021, my friend Ann Zanin and I taught a class together on moving at the NAPO virtual conference. We gave it from an organizer's point of view and what services we can provide to support clients who are moving. And we arranged our service ideas based on how close the move date was to when the client actually called for help. So what could we do to help if the client called the week of the move, 30 days before the move, 6 months before the move? From an organizer's point of view, the sooner you get started, the more help we can provide, because we have the time to do it. And that means we can do more of the physical labor, help with donation decisions and furniture layout at the new place, et cetera. The same is true for your move as well. Since we're talking decluttering strategies for a move today, the number one tip I give everyone is starting way sooner than you think you need to start. And if you try to do it close to the move date, it interferes with packing and you can't get through everything. So decluttering strategy number one is start now, the end, period. Some goal setting and focus of your purpose as we get started in this discussion. Decluttering is all about opening up space and reducing volume. So removing trash and recycling, putting like things with like for future packing. Think of it as a whole house reset. We've been talking about resetting spaces lately. You need to do a whole house reset in anticipation of moving. You're putting everything back where it belongs, so all the like items will get packed together and you have a clear idea of the total volume you have of any collections. It helps with donation decisions too. While actual packing is pretty disruptive since it creates piles of boxes and prevents you accessing what is packed until after the move, decluttering is less disruptive because you're focusing on subtracting what doesn't need to move, but leaving everything else in place basically for the time being. You can still get to stuff while you're doing this part, which is helpful and feels less destructive. If you do this decluttering part early on, you can start packing a few weeks before the move and probably manage to get completely ready for the movers, which would be a wonderful outcome for you. So let's talk decluttering strategies. The hardest part of the job, according to the survey results, everybody declared this the hardest part of the job. We're going to start with take a look at the furniture in every room. You've been adding things into the house over time, but furniture hardly ever goes out at the same rate. We put stuff in, but we don't release stuff. Don't move it just because you own it or because you inherited it. A move is the perfect time to set something free that you don't really love or doesn't fit in the new place because of its size. If it's not your style or doesn't fit in the new floor plan or has seen better days and needs replacing anyway, don't move it. Find a way to donate it through the local furniture bank, a refugee or disaster relief program, or at the curb on heavy trash weekend. Then post a photo of what's at the curb on your neighborhood message board with free for pickup notice on it. You can, I'm thinking of FreeCycle, Next Door, any kind of a message board that you can go on and interact with people locally so that it's somebody that's nearby that can come and pick it up. Ask friends or family if anyone can use it. Whatever you need to do to remove a piece of furniture that should be left behind. It takes time to arrange pickup of things like that. So this is a good thing to start with. And bonus, removing furniture immediately frees up space in the house. So then sorting and packing gets easier because you've created some blank spaces where furniture used to be. And that can only be helpful. Now you need to tackle paperwork, especially that old file cabinet that's full of who knows what. Find all the old paper files and stashes and boxes of paper in random closets and check them out for the move value. Is it worth it to move this pile of paper? Or is it all really old, dated, and unimportant? Boxes of paper stuff is heavy. It takes a lot of effort to move them, so don't do it if you can filter it out to something less. Think of your poor back lifting that box or your poor mover's back. Even if you can't figure out how to deal with the keep paperwork, the stuff that you need to keep, now's not the time to stress about filing systems. Remember, it's all about removal, reduction, trashing, or recycling. So go through the paper in the house, doing step one of every paper sorting project. What here can go? Don't pack paper that you'll throw out on the other end. Spend some time making at least one pass through the paper looking to reduce it.
Someone asked for the topic of how do I get started with paper? And so that's a really nice, concise summary of where you should get started if you're struggling with paper. Just do that first, keep pass, looking for the easy stuff to get rid of. If you're not sure, throw it in keep. Just keep going fast, remove volume.
And then when you face the keep file later or on the other end of the move, you know that you kept everything that you thought was important and you are not digging through a bunch of trash to get to it. And that'll make that part of the process, stage two and three, easier. Okay, the next strategy is go to the linen closet. It's time to sort through all those sheets and blankets and tell the truth to yourself about how many beds you have and how many linens you really need. I promise it's not as much as you have. Subtract those old sets with dead elastics and stains and those sets that are for beds that you no longer own. You know, if you don't have any twin beds, you don't need twin sheets. Do the same for all those blankets and bedspreads and throws and duvets and quilts and comforters you have. You know you have too many of them and you're not having a sleepover anytime soon. So it's time to release some bed coverings. All of this stuff can be donated to a pet shelter or a vet's office. So go through your linens collection and then make that errand happen. It'll leave a big space in the closet, I promise. Go to any room next that you consider a junk room or a spare room or a guest room. This is any room that has stuff in it, but hardly or ever gets used. This is basically your in-house storage unit. Almost everything in here is old, unnoticed, not currently in use in your life. And it's a ripe population for donations. It's probably got some sentimental things hiding in there, which is fine, but all the more reason for facing them and deciding if they really need to be moved again. I bet you'll find unpacked boxes from the last move in there somewhere too. So it's time to open them and donate the contents if possible, because clearly you haven't needed them so far. This room and its closet will probably take some time to go through, but since it's a room that you don't use, it's okay to disturb it and not finish it all at once. Just make sure you touch everything here and be extra sure if it needs to move. If it doesn't, then it's time to drag it out of the house. And likely it's, you're going to need to make a few trips to completely empty everything you want to get rid of there, but worth the effort. And you'll end up with a lot of empty space and a lot of stuff you don't have to pack anymore, which is wonderful. Next, go for any closet in any room. They all need that same once over that I was just talking about. Closets are where things get hidden or stuff to get them out of the way. So now's the time to unpack those closets and find all that's still hiding there. So much to be donated is buried in your closets right now. And it's not just about the clothes and shoes. There's always so many other things on the floor and on the shelves. So it's time to start digging. Either find the hidden important treasures or the junk you no longer need. Head for the kitchen next and tackle any pantry space. There is no need to pay movers to move cans of food that can be replaced on the other end for less than a dollar a piece. Those cans of green beans are worth what? 37 cents, 65 cents. This is a two-pronged strategy too. Stop restocking the pantry of staples and start eating up what you have so that you don't need to move it. You can go shopping once you're in the new place, which is infinitely cheaper to restock than packing it all and paying movers to move it. Make it a game to get your pantry to its lowest level ever before the move day comes. Don't forget to donate food you bought but don't like, or expired food needs to go out, or food that you tried but you'll never cook it again. Treat the fridge and the freezer the same way. Try your best to empty it by consuming the contents and not rebuying until after the move. Moving fridge food is such a hassle. There aren't enough coolers in the world when your fridge is full. So empty the fridge and freezer as much as you can and do the same thing to the pantry so that you can not have to carry all that stuff with you. The last space I'm going to suggest that needs attention is any cabinet, but especially kitchen cabinets. Cabinets seem to invite stuffing. It's time to empty those cabinets one at a time and see if you actually need and use everything that's stuffed in there. This is true in the kitchen and the bathroom cabinets too. You know, you've been putting things in there that you didn't want to make a decision about keeping. It's time to face the music and finally decide, why exactly am I keeping this again? What do I think I'm going to do with it? And why can't it go away instead? If you can go through those focused areas as you're getting ready for your move, you will be able to remove a bunch of volume and you're going to end up with a much easier packing job on the other end when it's actually time to pack. So
Naomi says, although I hope to remain in my beautiful condo for the rest of my life, my experience is that there is also a positive excitement in moving, the push to declutter and restart with a lighter and more focused inventory.
There, see, that's another spin on it, right? Like moving forces us to do something that we don't naturally do otherwise. And so moving gives you that benefit of, it creates a timeline, it creates a deadline, it creates a need for you to go through the stuff. Other than I just don't want to live with it anymore, the need becomes, I have to actually box this stuff up. And so do I really want to? So
yeah, it's a chance to leave behind some of your bad choices.
Right, exactly. That's exactly right.
Ellen said, last week I found a home for my antique oak rocker and donated my electric mobility scooter, wheelchair, and walker. Loving the empty space.
Those are big things too. That was large footprint items that you got out of there. I'm sure you got a lot of empty space out of it. Excellent. Yay. That must feel like such a win.
Michelle says, after 14 years in the same home, I moved in 2017. I started sorting, clearing, donating, and packing. But by the end, I was running around like a mad woman shouting, just get it in a box.
Exactly.
It always takes much longer than you think.
100%. I have
that, and that's why we're saying, oh, you people who plan to move in 5 years or more, you can still start thinking about it right now.
Because all those places that I talked about are places that have stuff in them right now that need to go, that don't need to be packed, and going through them is not going to destroy your life.
Right. Michelle also said, I have now moved 3 times in 6 years. I have reduced the volume every move, and it is definitely easier with less stuff.
Yay, good job, right? And you know, that's the benefit of moving is it forces you to do it again. There's always a moment, and I've said this before, where I go to somebody's house for to talk to them about a move. And part of my job is looking at the volume of what isn't packed yet and when the deadline for the move is, and to be able to say to them, no, your sorting window has closed. You now need all the remaining time to pack.
Yeah.
They always look at me like I'm insane, but it's like, no, you need to pack. You need to start packing right now. And I had this moment way years before I became an organizer. Some friends of mine moved. They had loaded up all the stuff in the house into a moving truck. And of course we were young and it was a self move. So we were over there as the friends. And of course we had, you know, hamburgers as our payment. We got, you know, Whataburger for lunch or whatever. And after the truck was full, after they had loaded everything, I started wandering around and picking up the trash that was on the floor and picking up the loose things that were on the counter and opening cabinets and drawers and finding this one thing that was left and that one thing that was left. And I spent another 2 hours gathering up the shrapnel that was left after the move was loaded. And at some point, one of the people who was moving came to me and said, oh my gosh, Gail, thank God you did that. I can't believe how long it took and how much was still there. And I'm like, yeah, you weren't done yet. You were not done. And I think we sort of get to that. We're going to be, when it's 85% done, we think we're done. But then the 15% takes another 6 hours to complete. So you're not really done when you think you're done. And there's always something, it always takes longer to finish up and clean up and all that shrapnel at the end. And there's so much work to do related to a move. And so the more time, the better.
Susie says, I keep thinking about having to declutter the house so it can get fumigated and repaired. My mother is getting older and it is only a matter of time before the house needs to be sold. So that kind of highlights what, you know, what we're talking about. Even if a move is not imminent, kind of putting on your moving filter.
Yeah, your future goggles.
Yeah, to look at the current state of the house and think about, one of these days we're going to have to get out of here. What is going to be the sticking point? Right. What's going to be a problem? Start with that.
And it might be, you might get some pushback from your mother as you go around and start talking to her about decluttering things. But if you frame it from the point of view of, if I'll help you do, we're doing this together, I'm going to do it and you can help me, or you can watch me, or you can participate in whatever way you want. You know, I won't take anything out that you don't want to let go of, but this is going to be a lot of work to empty this house. And so anything that I can do now is just going to make my future life easier. And, you know, you can pull the I'm your kid card and I have to do it behind you. So why don't we do it together now and start working on it now? And because truthfully, that situation of moving somebody out of their house into assisted living or into some kind of facility, it always has, it's an added extra burden of a move because there's so much emotional distress that goes with, I'm having to leave my home because I can't take care of myself anymore. That is a stressful thing for someone to go through. And to also have to dismantle a house and be moving on top of it and having kids running around and telling you what to do. And suddenly everybody else is in charge of your stuff. And it's very, very stressful. It's like move on steroids. And so anything that you can do now to help her feel like she is still in charge of her stuff and she still has the agency around it, that she's still the one making the decisions and that you're just being the workhorse, will only make this, it can only make that transition for her smoother and easier if she feels like she's done some of her part to get the house ready to go and she's helped you with the burden of disposing of her things and she's making the choices about what she wants to keep and go with her and what is okay to go. And it can only help her emotionally on the other end when it's actually time for her to go. And suddenly it stops being out in her control because there's so much to be done in a short period of time. And by then she may be losing some physical capacity or mental capacity. And so it's a way for you guys to face it together and still have her feel like she has agency in her own stuff, which I think is important for somebody to not be super stressed out emotionally by the transition to a new place.
Yeah. We have more comments, but before that, I want to make a couple of quick announcements. First up, we want to say a special thank you to Julie for becoming our newest Patreon supporter. If you'd like to help support our efforts with a recurring monthly donation of any size, please visit cfhou.com/Patreon. Your contributions help us offset the cost of producing the weekly webcast and will help us fund new projects that we're cooking up. Thank you for your support, Julie, and all of our generous underwriters.
We appreciate you so much. It really, really helps us out. Thank you.
Also, we haven't mentioned in quite a while our YouTube channel. So you want to pull up that sign? Oh, yes, sir. I want to remind our viewers and listeners that we have a YouTube channel with more than 250 videos on a wide variety of organizing topics. Visit cfhou.com/YouTube. Subscribe to our channel on YouTube and then click the bell icon next to the subscribe button if you'd like to get notified when we post new content. Okay, let me share another comment. Naomi says, it's not just food. For anything which is not sentimental, you can do a cost analysis, whether it would cost more to pack and transport than just to buy a new one at the other end. Then even just giving it away for free would be more economical than packing it.
Right. And that formula shifts depending on how far you're going.
Right.
So the move gets more expensive. If you're moving from Texas to New York State, it's a long drive and it makes the move that much more costly. So not having loaded up with extra stuff in boxes, think of all the breakable things. Do you really need all those breakable things? You have to specially wrap them. They have to have lots of cushion inside the box. And they have to be wrapped well to keep from breaking on the trip in the back of the semi bouncing down the highway. And so you have to take a lot of extra time and care to wrap something that is breakable in order to get it to the other end. And if you do all that extra work to make it get there without breaking, and you pay for the boxes and you pay for the wrapping and you pay for the moving, and then you get to the other end and you donate it, then you've just thrown all that money out the door. So evaluate this stuff. I mean, use that cost benefit analysis she's talking about and factor in the length and expense of the move. If you're moving in town from one place to the other, your rent, your move cost is going to be less than if you're moving across the country. So that's going to change some of the choices that you make.
Tammy says, I've always experienced panic moves. I don't know another way.
Oh.
And we're trying to offer another way. So even if you right now expect to stay put for a few years, do you have any boxes from the last move that you haven't processed? Take care of those. Right.
And start this decluttering process and paperwork process now, which I think that you're doing if this is the same thing.
Tammy. Yeah.
So you're working on your paper already, which is great because you're making some of that paper go away and you're thinning out what you will have to pack and move later. And so just consider that while you're working on the paper project, you're helping your future self if you have to move. So good job for that. And it'll be, the moving tips are out there. The YouTube videos about moving are out there, how to pack, all that kind of stuff is out there. So we will continue to support you in any way we can around packing and moving.
Leela offers this advice. She says, I always wrap my breakables in my clothing, towels, and bedding. For example, I weave t-shirts and pants in between plates and glasses in a box of dishes.
Okay, that works.
And Deborah also offered the reminder that there are moving apps. There are quite a few. Is there one you particularly like or have had clients have good success with?
No. I haven't. I don't have experience to comment.
Okay.
But I know they're out there, and I know that some of it is just like box numbering and tracking, to create inventory of what's in your boxes and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Using them and creating that detail level of inventory of your boxes takes a lot of time. So it's another, if you want to use one of those apps to create your inventory of the move, then you're going to need to add more time onto your prep. So that's one of the things to do if you have a long move time instead of a short one. And if you're packing boxes for 6 months, you're not going to remember what went into the first box 6 months earlier. So it's a great thing to do any kind of an inventory listing of the contents for you so that you can find it later, because you won't remember. And yes, the moving videos are mine. I'm talking about our YouTube channel. I have a bunch of, we've talked about moving several times before. There's a subcategory in there for moving.
Yeah, there's a playlist that is about packing and moving specifically with several videos in it.
Yeah.
Deborah mentioned when I moved from Canada to Austria, I threw a big party to use up all my decanted alcohol and food.
Excellent. Make all your friends come drink and eat at your house. That's awesome. You don't need to be shipping breakable alcohol bottles from Canada to Austria, right? Like that's a risk and a cost that was completely unnecessary for a move across an ocean. So good for you for thinning it out.
Tony asked, what about school yearbooks? Any thoughts on what to do with them, I suppose, is the question.
So there are people that reference them, collect them, and use them. So if you go online and search for selling yearbooks, there might be, you know, on eBay or somewhere out there, there might be people collecting them. Now, not a huge volume, but there are people looking for them. In the meantime, there's no point in sending them back to the school. They don't really make any sense in a library. And so unless you can find somebody that's trying to collect that particular year, I think yearbooks are one of those things that are super important when you're in high school for, you know, 3 months after you get it.
And diminish really quickly.
Not much longer after that. Although, you know, some people like to go back and look at old pictures and it's a reminiscing tool. It's a memory tool. And so keep it if you flip through it and like it. And if you don't like it, go out and see if somebody's, you know, looking to buy. You can also, you know, Google what's your name of the high school, you know, Yale University 1965 yearbook for sale and see what pops up.
Well, there are I think a lot of classes have set up like Facebook groups for the school and particular class, at least at bigger schools like mine. I went to a really big urban school.
Right.
And so there's a class of 1981 group, which I got out of because I found that I didn't really have that much in common with a lot of the people I went to high school with. But that's another story.
Right. But it is a population that would be ripe to offer your if there's
exactly
an existing group for your class and your school out there, then maybe somebody lost their yearbook, it went in a fire, their parents threw it out and they really wish they had it, you know, blah, 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 blah. So there may be, that may be a way for you to get rid of some of them as well. Otherwise, you know, you get to recycle them.
Summer commented, I think she's probably referring back to what the situation Susie was talking about. She said, I went through this exact situation last year with my mom. She was a pack rat for years. These last few years was living with her and suffered through her Alzheimer's decline the last few years. Earlier, mom was too stubborn and resistant to me helping her. It was a huge stress when the crisis time finally arrived. It left me sick and stressed out. Horrible.
That's like the whole other added element of your mom was losing her mental capacity, which makes it, you can't have logical conversations with somebody at that point about what needs to stay and what needs to go. Paranoia kicks in, fear kicks in. There's all kinds of difficulties in managing somebody in that situation. I'm sorry. I'm sure it was very, very hard. This is another story to remind you that someone may be behind you trying to clean up after you when you get Alzheimer's or when you are losing mental capacity, and they have to deal with it without, while trying to deal with you in a bad place. So be kind to your children or relatives or whoever takes over your stuff, and do what you can in advance to make that job easier.
Here's a great suggestion from Leela. Leela says, I cut a few special pages out of my yearbooks and put them into clear page sleeves in a scrapbook.
There you go.
That's a terrific idea, because, you know, I have yearbooks taking up this much shelf space. Yeah. And there's probably about this many pages I would actually care about, you know?
Right. The pages that you're in, like the whole point of getting the yearbook is to see the picture of yourself and your friends. Like, you wanted to see the stuff that relates to you.
Yeah. You don't really need the page about, you know, how the wrestling team did that year, you know?
Unless you're on the wrestling team, right?
Right. Like,
you know, so you're right. That is, you know, why not? Because they're going to get destroyed anyway, ultimately. You might as well go in and cut out the pieces that are important to you, that are the memory triggers for you, and then let the rest of it go.
She went on to say, my dad used the remainder of the books in his wood stove that winter.
There you go.
I've definitely become less sentimental over the years. And Dawn mentioned classmates.com will usually accept yearbooks, especially if they don't have that school and year in their collection.
There you go. Yeah. Good job. Classmates.com. Thanks for the reference. I knew there was somebody out there that was, you know, looking for them, and, you know, particular classes may be looking for them too, depending on how long it's been, how old they are. There's not really a lot of monetary value unless you have, you know, Harvard University 1898 or something.
Right, right.
It's not really, you know, your local high school from 1962 is not really a high dollar thing. So,
and last word on yearbooks. The best use I've found for old yearbooks is to make the grandkids laugh and look and look in wonder at grandma in a mini skirt and knee high boots.
I know, right? To look at your outfits and your hair. Oh, and see that you can accomplish that by cutting out the pieces that you're in or your friends are in. And then you can talk about, you can show your grandkids your pictures and your friends' pictures. And here I was a cheerleader, or I was in the science club or whatever, and you can show them that and they'll get a big kick out of it, and then you don't have to have all the rest. That's awesome.
Leanna on Facebook mentioned, I said it was the last word on yearbooks. I was wrong. Leanna on Facebook says, take your yearbook to your next class reunion and see if anyone wants it.
There you go.
If classmates signed and made comments to you, they may not want it.
One of my friends went to her 50th high school reunion, or no, college reunion.
Wow.
Yeah. That seemed like, ooh, that was fun. It must have been an amazing thing to be walking around as a 70-year-old.
I would think by the 50th reunion, it would be a fairly small group.
Yeah, right. It's shrunk a little bit. Yeah, I'm waiting to hear the story of the visit. But my grandfather went to his, oh my gosh, like 60th high school reunion or something.
Wow.
And it was down to, you know, 12 people or 15 people or something like that. There was not very many left, but he went anyway, and they were all people that he knew. And
nice.
Yeah.
That's one of the problems with having gone to a really big school. There were 560 in my graduating class. Mm-hmm. So I only knew a really small percentage of them. Yeah. Judy on Facebook says, growing up, I moved every few years. Decades later, I still ask myself, if I were moving, would I take this item with me? It provides quick clarity.
Right? Like, would I really want to pack this up? Do I really care enough to transport this in the car? There's nothing like the, you know, panic of a move to make you make choices in a hurry. So it's a good filter. It's always a very good filter anytime.
Okay. I think we need to talk about next week. So let me get that in front of me here. I want to remind everyone that we'll be back for our next live webcast on Tuesday, May 2nd at noon U.S. Central Time, live in Zoom and streaming on Facebook. Are you running out of steam on long-term organizing goals, or were you short on enthusiasm in the first place? In our next episode, we'll offer strategies for finding or creating the motivation to keep your organizing projects and commitments going strong. Join us on May 2nd, 2023 for May is for Motivation, How to Energize Your Organizing Projects.
I'm sure you can't wait to hear about that. There's plenty to talk about there.
We get asked about motivation an awful lot. I mean, people keep suggesting that as a topic, and we've covered it a few times, but we can always look for fresh angles. Right. There's always more to say.
There's always more to say. And actually, our audience has lots to say to each other about it as well.
Right.
You guys are super supportive to each other. And so I know that you give each other lots of ideas in the chat as well while we're talking. So that's the added bonus of being live. You get to be in with the audience who is chiming in and adding their two cents to the topic at hand and giving you some on the ground experience from people that are actively doing it. So
and a lot of laughter.
And a lot of laughter, exactly.
The chats are usually pretty funny. Why don't you give us a tittle?
Okay, this week's tittle is called Your Moving Challenge. This week's assignment is to answer the following question from our survey, if you didn't already respond to the survey, and then to take action to address your biggest moving challenge. So the question is, considering the present condition of your home and its contents, if you had to move from your home in a short time frame, what would your biggest challenge be? Think about a category of stuff, a piece of furniture, an overstuffed closet, jam-packed room, a collection of items. Now maybe you have a physical limitation or a time constraint or any other moving challenge that comes to mind. So you're looking for the challenge here. Jot down ideas about how you might face this challenge. Here are a few questions to ask to get started. Who could help you? Friends, family, social service agencies, church groups, volunteer organizations, paid help, etc. What tasks could you knock out far in advance of the move? What could you be working on right now that would be helping you move later? What are you ready to give away, to donate, recycle, or dispose of right now? Then plan one or two next actions that you can take to tackle your challenge. Maybe the challenge is you need to get rid of a big piece of furniture. And so the next actions might be, I need to do some research on whether there's a furniture bank in my town that has a pickup service that would come and pick up a piece of furniture. Or do I have a church group? I need to find the local refugee program. I need to find the disaster relief. Somebody's house burned down, flooded, and they collect furniture to give away. And so maybe that action step is you got to do the research to find out what agency or service or volunteer organization is out there that could deal with your piece of furniture. You want to plan those one or two next actions, and then you want to schedule an appointment to work on the project. So scheduling an appointment with yourself, I'm going to sit down and do that research on, you know, Wednesday morning at 10 or Saturday afternoon. I'm going to try to do some Googling, make some phone calls, find out who can come and take this piece of furniture away. Okay. Do those pieces on it. See if we can find a challenge and face it and make a plan for it. And then come back and tell us how it went. And maybe you can identify your challenge and come and ask us what we think we would do with it as well. We can give you some feedback as well. So let us know how it goes.
Okay. I want to make one more announcement because we've got a minute to spare, and why waste a minute? You mentioned virtual organizing in the course of today's show. So I wanted to remind people that you can hire Gail. If you're in the Houston area, of course, you can hire Gail to come work with you in person. But even if you're not, if you're ready to give virtual organizing a try, go to cfhou.com/virtual and click virtual organizing session to see a list of available time slots. Please don't click free assessment because that only applies to in-person appointments in the Houston area, not to virtual organizing sessions. If you're watching this on YouTube, we would love for you to join us live. To get notifications about upcoming events, we invite you to join the meetup group by visiting cfhou.com/meetup. You can also follow us on Facebook by visiting cfhou.com/Facebook, or join our mailing list by visiting cfhou.com/subscribe. We love to hear from you, so please keep your questions, comments, and topic suggestions coming on YouTube, Facebook, or anywhere that you find us. You can always reach us through our website at clutterfairyhouston.com.
Thanks, everybody, for coming. Bonus points if you want to do a virtual organizing session with me from somewhere else in the world. Not the United States. My most recent virtual appointment was with somebody in Australia, which was so much fun for me. I had such a great time talking to her. And it was, of course, many hours difference. And but I got a big kick out of talking to her. So
nice.
If you're from really far away, I'd love to talk to you. I find that super fascinating.
or even just as far away as like Kingwood.
Right. Which to me is pretty far.
Right. You don't want to drive that. Oh my goodness.
No, I do not. So thanks everybody for coming this week. Appreciate it. We're so glad that Ed is back and we will talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.